Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I would like for you to go to Matthew 24 this morning. Matthew 24. This morning, the title of my message is just one word. You know, I try to watch the title that it's not like 10 words. You know, so you have to put a 10-word title. So this morning's going to be easy. One word, reconciliation. Amen. Reconciliation. And the Lord has just specifically dealt with me to talk about the things that are going on in our nation right now. All the strife, all the turmoil, all the anger, hatred, bitterness, and what we as believers, what our position should be. And so we're just going to look at the Word of God. How many know the Word has the answers? You know, when I look for an answer, you know, to what's going on in life, I don't look to the world. I look to the Word. Amen? Because the Word's got the answer. Amen? I appreciate, you know, honest people that are trying to help and do the things, you know, that they do. But it just, if you don't have the Word of God, it just falls short of fixing the problem. But let's go to Matthew 24, and I'm going to read a couple verses out of there. This is Jesus, and he's talking about what it's going to be like in the end times, the times we're in right now. And in verse 7, he said, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences or plagues or COVID-19 and earthquakes," which seem to happen on a daily basis now, "in diverse or various places." Verse 10, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Well, I think that, you know, if you look at our country, our world, we're there. I said, we're there. But I want to talk about, in this particular passage, I want us to back up to verse 7, and I want to bring out some understanding, some word understanding here, all right? Verse 7 says, "Nation shall rise against nation." Now, literally, that word "nation" in the Greek is the word ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S, ethnos. We get our word "ethnic" from it. Are you following me? So Jesus was, the King James, and I think most translations say "nation," and it does mean "nation," but when you look at it, it literally means ethnic groups, or it also says a race of people. So, ethnic groups shall rise against ethnic groups. This is what Jesus prophesied would happen. We're going to deal with not only that this morning, but all of the anger, all of the strife that's going on in our country. Not only in just this area, but a lot of areas. And we're going to deal with it as believers. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to make sure that gets out of us. Amen. Hallelujah, if it needs to come out. Now, let's just talk about this. You know, do you know the Bible says in Acts, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "God has made all of us one blood." Did you know, no matter what country you're from, what ethnic group you are, you bleed red? Do you know, I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but you know, a lot of, there are, you just never know who's watching and who's listening, you know. I realize, but sometimes the choir needs to preach too. But did you know, I'm a white man, Caucasian man. If you stood me up here and you stood an African-American man beside me and you stood a Hispanic man next, and then you stood an Oriental man next, and you stood a Native American man next, and if we could get Ancestry.com to run our ancestries, if they could do it, you know, if they could run our ancestries, did you know that if they could just, if they had the ability, if they could run it far enough back, you know where it would end up? Adam and Eve. Someone sent me a text the other day. I appreciated it. They were wanting to know. They said, was Jesus white or was he black? Listen how quiet it is. What'd you answer him back? I said, he wasn't either one. According to the scriptures, he was from the line of the tribe of Judah. He was Jewish. Well, that isn't the picture that I got at home. Well, the picture you got at home is wrong. Are you with me now? They said thanks, you know, because they said they were in a discussion with someone about this, whether he was white or he was black. He wasn't either one. He was Jewish. Is God white or is he black? You don't know. Maybe he's not any of it. This is how quiet it is. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just simply saying we have to get preconceived ideas out of our mind. Amen. Come on. Now, I'm going to tell you the way God sees this. You want to know the way God sees this? He sees all of us are in His image. Now, I made up my mind a long time ago. A long time ago. In the natural, there's only two kinds of people. I'm talking about naturally speaking. Only two kinds of people. Good people, bad people. Amen. See, what did God say to the prophet Samuel? He said, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. Now, I know some of you are looking at me like, well, spiritually, there's only born again people, non-born again people. Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about that. There's people out there that aren't born again that are good people. And there's bad people out there. Are you with me now? So I don't judge you on the color of your skin or whether you're from West Texas. I judge you whether you're a good person or you're a bad person. That's how I know if I want anything to do with you. Amen. And so we're just talking about some things here. See, there's this spirit of division that's out there that we, the church, got to watch. We don't enter into this. I said, we don't enter into this. Amen? Amen. See, Jesus said, at verse 10, he said many would be offended and would betray one another, and those hate one another. I've never seen such. You know, and I mean, I lived through the 60s. I was young in the 60s, so I really wasn't paying all that much attention until it got near the end of the 60s and early 70s. Then I started paying a little bit of attention. But before, all the riots and the things that were going on in the 60s and so forth, and all. But I don't think I saw the hatred I see today. I don't think I see it like I do today. But he said, many will be offended. You know, listen, did you know it's easy to get offended? Did you know offense is a trap of the devil? Actually, the Greek word for offense is the word scandalon. And what a scandalon is, it's actually the trigger on a trap. You know, like a mouse trap? You know how you have the little trigger thing there you put the cheese on? You know, that trips the track, the trap that gets the mouse? Well, that's actually what offense is. It's a trap to get us into, to trip, so that the devil can get a hold of our lives. I don't know whether you know this or not, but as long as people on this earth, you're going to have to forgive people. People are going to do you wrong. Did you know the Apostle Paul, when you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said that when he first got in trouble, and he got in trouble for preaching the gospel, you know, and he first got arrested, he said all the men that were with him forsook him. They all left. Now, who's he talking about? We know some of the group that ran with him was Luke. Timothy. T- Titus, Demas, Onesiphorus, different ones that went with Paul as he traveled. He said when he first got arrested, they all left. They all forsook him. How'd you like to have some of that? But you know what he said? He said, may it not be laid to their charge. And he said, the Lord stood with me. I believe the Lord stood with him because of the way the stance he took. And said, he delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, and he will deliver me from every evil work. Hallelujah. Why? Because of his forgiving attitude. Amen. You know, so we're just going to have to learn. See, one of the things that keeps you from getting offended is just fall in love with the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's what the psalmist said. He said, those that love the Lord, those that love the Word, nothing shall offend them. Those that love the commandments of God, nothing will offend them. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Go over there. You're awful quiet this morning. And I hope you can... get a hold of what I'm saying, because we're going to deal with a lot of different issues. We may not, get specific, but we're going to deal with this because, I'm going to deal with anger because there's a spirit of anger in our nation right now. And it's been, it was released in 2015. And I told Phyllis about it, the militant, angry spirit was released then through something that happened, which I'm not going to talk about right now, but something happened that released that into our nation. I saw it coming. I told her then, I said, that's going to release the militant spirit in our country, what they're doing there. And so here we are, and we as believers, we got to learn how to handle this. Amen. Because I don't know whether you know this or not, I'm meeting believers that are angry. You get around them, all they want to talk about is what's wrong. When we got so much going on, that's right. Hallelujah. All right, it's going to get better. Hang on. But sometimes we have to deal with things. We have to break open some things. We have to fix some things. Amen? And we got to make sure that we're not falling into the same trap as the world. Listen to this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read a few scriptures this morning. Is this okay with you? That's good, because I'm going to do it. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many know we got something to shout about? Yes. Hallelujah. I mean, we are new creatures. Yes. 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Notice this. And he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, God was saying, I'm not going to hold it against you. Come on and be reconciled. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ooh, that's a wonderful verse. Hallelujah. Well, now here's the situation. How many know we didn't deserve to be reconciled? But God just freely forgave us, right? I mean, we didn't do anything to earn it. He just forgave us. Amen. If you do something, Paul said, if you earn it, it's not a grace, If it's grace, you can't earn it. So it was freely. But what I wanted to bring out of this reading this passage of Scripture is the fact that you and I as believers now, our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Right? Come on. We just read it, right? We're to be reconcilers. Amen? We're not to be dividers. Right. Why am I running against some resistance here? Come on, we're not to be dividers. Amen. We're not. What is a reconciler? Well, a reconciler is somebody that brings two parties back together. Now, see, God, part of our calling as believers is to bring people back to God. God and people back together. Amen. But that ministry of reconciliation, man, that's supposed to be the Spirit's about us. We're supposed to be reconcilers. Well, we're trying to reconcile things and make things, instead of making things worse. Now, we don't just reconcile people that believe just like us. Amen. Now, I'm going to it's going to get a little touchy, a little quiet on some things, but I'm saying it for our good, I believe, all right? And we're just going to talk about some things, but our number one thing that we should be concerned about right now as believers is reconciliation. Amen. Did you know that you don't always have to have your way? I settled. I was going for a run yesterday, and I've got a friend that lives along the trail there by the river downtown Newbury. He's got a house there, and we're friends. And as I was going by, him and his wife are outside doing a little work in the yard there, and so he wanted to stop me and talk. And so I stopped and talked a little bit, and they were putting numbers up on their house thing there on their steps. You know, they had. And so, you know, she thought they should go one place, and he thought they should go another place. So Mr. Reconciliation shows up. And I basically told him, I said, "Where did she say they should go?" Well, right there. I said, "That's right." And you're old enough to know that. Now, if you as a young guy hadn't been married very long, you wouldn't know that yet. But you're old enough to know. So he said, "That's right." And when I went for a run, their house is like one of the first houses you come up to when you come up that trail there. And I went all the way down a good ways. And when I came back, they were gone. But I noticed the letters were where she wanted them. That's reconciliation. Amen. Now, God has called us to be reconcilers. What's that? To bring things together. Amen. Come on. All right. how much time I got? I hope 5 minutes. Oh, no, I got 30 more. All right. I'm just trying to just bring out a thought here that you begin to see yourself in a different light. That even, see, it's so easy. You know, a lot of the political views today are so, in my opinion, so far warped. It's just, how do you think that way? And it's just real easy to get angry. It's real easy to get, I don't mean curse like curse, but just like, you know, let them go. But did you know what our job is? Our job's reconcilers. Amen. To do our best to bring things back together. Amen. Paul who said, "As much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men." You know, you can't always. You know, there's some people that are just not going to get along with you because you're a Christian. Jesus said that. He said that. There's some that's not going. Well, but you do the best you can do. You don't enter into that low life. See, that revelation came to me one day when I was, that verse where it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, because I always kind of had a little bit of that on me. You know, where if you left me alone, we were good. But if you mess with me, I'm liable to mess back. Okay? But I wasn't a starter of things. Well, once I got saved. But after I got saved, I still had a little bit of that on me. Like, you know, if you got in my face, then, you know, I might clean your grill. Now, I the Lord really had to really, how many know we all got areas that have to be improved? Now, I was never an angry person or a violent person. My wife's been married to me for a long time. She can tell you. Never was that way or a mean person after I got born again. I wasn't any of that. But yet I still had some of that residue that left. Like, you know, I could walk through life and never have an issue with anybody and live for 100 years. But if somebody got in my space and messed with me and started messing with me, then I messed back. Okay? But I learned through the scriptures that what the Bible is saying, it says, don't be overcome of evil. Don't let evil bring you into evil. Don't you go down on that level. Like when those guys, I've told you this story before, like when those guys, I was out for a run and those guys drove by and they hollered some things at me and I hollered back and said, "Why don't you come here and say that in front of me like a man?" That was being overcome by evil. That's not what Jesus did, is it? What did he do? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, I could kind of like, Father, forgive them. They don't know who they're messing with. All 5'8" of me is coming unglued here, all right? How many understand what I'm saying to you is simply this. The devil would love to bring the church down on the level of the world and to get in there and fight with the world right now. And we can't reconcile people we're fighting with. Are you with me now? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is not going to be probably the all-time greatest message I've ever preached. But I'll tell you what, I think before we're done, we're going to hit some things here that's going to, you know, maybe pop some eyes open and say, maybe I need to readjust a little bit here. And maybe this scripture right here is going to do it that we're getting ready to read. Because when I read this, God began to deal with me about some things out of this. I began to see, yeah, I can understand why some things have transpired the way they've transpired in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, this is Apostle Paul telling his church, I can't talk to you like you're spiritual people. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto or up till now you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal? And the King James says, walk as men. Or I think it might be the Amplified Bible says, walk as mere men or unchanged men. In other words, you're acting like the world. Amen. And he said, I cannot give you spiritual things, deep things. Now, I read that verse yesterday. And as I read that, it was like the Lord was saying to me, he said, this is one of the reasons the anointing has waned in the church. Now, not the only reason, but this is one of the reasons why. Because now, if you're young, you're new to the church, you wouldn't know this. But if you go back 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, the church had a stronger anointing on it. Come on, those of you been there around that long, how many know I'm telling the truth? Now, that began to wane. Now, I understand there's moves of God that come and go, but yet still that's not the answer to all this. And the Lord began to show me, he said, one of the things is, he says, the church has got down in the dirt and in the gutter with the world and fought like they fight. Amen. Now, just because we're right on the issues doesn't make us right in our methods. One of the things we have to understand about why do people do such dumb things, I'll try to be discreet about this, but I remember there was a person in our area, right from here in our area, that, you know, when they were here, they had common sense, They were a decent person. I'm not saying they're not decent now, but that's probably not the best way to say that. But they had, their views were just good. They got elected to office and went to Washington, D.C., and they changed. And I thought, what happened to them? Well, what happened was this. See, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Amen. Come on, are you with me? Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in heaven place. In other words, this person, when they went into Washington, D.C., they got in some warfare they weren't in when they was around here. It's not, we say it's people want to destroy our country. Well, yeah, but it's demons that want to destroy our country. You know, when Brother Hagin, when he was a pastor, he was a pastor for 12 years, you know, and he said he learned, stop dealing so much with the people and deal with the demons that are influencing the people. I mean, people that were causing trouble. Amen. Yeah. Learn to deal with the demons. Now, there's times you have to deal with people, but his point was well taken. It's not just people. It's spirits behind it. Yeah. Right? See, it's like I said, I saw this coming in 2015. I told Phyllis about it then. And I might have told some other friends of mine. I said then, I said, they've released something on our nation, and it's not going to be good. All right? But as Christians, we don't want it in the church. We don't want to get down on their level. We don't want to get down on the mud-slinging level. I hear Christians call some of our leaders some names. I'm thinking, that's mud-slinging, guys. We got to watch that. Now, could that be why we're not getting the deep things of God any longer? That's what Paul said. He said, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't give it to you. Why? Because there's envy, there's strife, there's divisions among you. Are you not carnal and walk as men? See, it's the spirit of the thing. Come on, are you with me now? It's the spirit of the thing. Amen. Listen, I don't like some things going on any more than you do. And believe me, I sign more petitions than probably any of you do. I've written my leaders letters, and not just one or two, but I've done it a lot over things and over issues. Why? Because they need to hear from the Christians. They need to hear our voice, but they also need to see our love. I haven't agreed with every president we've had, but I've respected them. Now, I've not been perfect. I've said some things I shouldn't have said. I know you're shocked. I've let that anger get off on me in ways it shouldn't have got off on me. But I would recover. I'd see it and recover and say, no, I can't be doing that. The Bible doesn't tell me to talk about my leaders, to criticize my leaders, it's one thing to deal with issues, and it's another thing to assassinate. You understand? Huge difference. And so, you know, the Lord's dealt with me about that over the years. You know, just there's times I've blown it. There's times, you know, I'm wanting to say something so bad, and I can hear the Holy Ghost say, no, don't say that. No, well, shoot, far, I'm going to say it anyway. And then have to repent. As soon as I get done, like, oh, brother. Now, don't go lying and saying I'll never do it again. But we can't allow that spirit to get off on us. Are you with me now? See, I've seen a lot of presidents come and go now, you know, in my lifetime. Some I like better than others. You know, different leaders. Some I like better than others. But we as believers, we have to take this fight at a different level than the world does. Amen. This strife and division and name-calling and all that's not the level we're to be on. We're to be on a different level. Amen. I know this isn't a real jump-up-and-shout message, I understand, but at least act like you believe me. Amen. See, what happened here? Well, here's the church here. They got caught up in this strife, division, envy, and Paul said, I can't give you the deeper things of God. I can't do it. I'd like to, but I can't. Now, why is that? Well, let's go over to Ephesians. Let's go there. I'm going to look at this scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. Go there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let's go there. So we have to watch it. We don't enter into all this because, you know, I love this. I love Psalm 133. I preached out of Psalm 133 over the years. It says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment or anointing that was on Aaron, was poured on his head. It went down to his beard. It went down to the skirts of his garment. For there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, I saw something out of that year, many years ago. I saw this. You know, Aaron was the high priest of the day. All right? Today, our high priest is Jesus. And I saw that. That anointing that's on the head flows down to the rest of the body. See? Down to the skirts of the garment. But it only comes if you're in unity with the head. If you're underneath the head, then that anointing flows down on you. And the blessing's there. Well, you know, Paul said when you get in strife, when you get in division, when you get into that, he said it breaks the unity and that can't flow. See, you can't have the deeper things of God. Amen. Now, I don't want you to think I'm saying something I'm not saying. I'm not saying the church shouldn't be involved in politics. If anybody should be, it should be the church. But I am saying this, let's don't lay down the gospel so we can preach politics and think that's going to save our nation. Because it's not. It's just going to make the world mad at us. Let's just stick preaching the gospel. Because the Word of God covers every moral issue you'll ever want to deal with. It's right. You can preach this Word and preach about every ailment in our country. You don't have to get down and fight like the world does and call people names and everything else that's going on. Come on. Even in the church. We don't have to do that. We can just preach the Bible. It'll rebuke. It'll correct. It'll deal with things. Come on, are you with me now? Every modern day issue we're dealing with is right here in this book. This book addresses it. Everything that's going on in our nation that's wrong, this book addresses it. It's right here. It's right here. We need to get back to the book. Now, are you in Ephesians? All right. Chapter 4. All right, go to verse 26. Paul said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, what's he saying here? Well, here's what he's saying. When, you know, anger is an emotion, isn't it? Right? I mean, you know, things can make you angry, right? All right, I see things, you know, it makes me angry. And that's why I try to limit my digestion of the news. Because all it seems to do is make me angry. And if I read it all day long, I'm angry all day long. So I don't need much of that. And I'm just going to clue you in a little bit on this too. It's not all true. Let me tell you, you know, now listen to me, hear me out. Don't throw your Bibles at me. But even the conservative news, sometimes they all do this. They pump it up. What do you mean they pump it up? If they put it out plain vanilla like it is, it's not as exciting. Amen. So they kind of pump it up a little bit, make it look worse than it really is. Every issue going on in our nation, I guarantee you, the media has made it look worse than it is. Every one of them. Every one of them has made it look worse than it is. A guy one time, he's a famous guy, you know, and he's a conservative guy, and he's well known. And, you know, he said, I went to give this speech at this certain city, a certain venue. And he said, when I went there, he said, the news media covered it. He said, but all they covered was the protest. That's all he talked about, the protests. There were protests going on, he said, when I got there. He said, I went through the protest line, and there were three people. See, the media didn't lie. There were protests going on, all three of them. All three of them. Are you with me now? And the same thing goes on today. So if you watch any of the news coverage and you think that's the fullness of the story, that's the complete story, as Paul Harvey used to say, now for the rest of the story. There's more to this story, amen? And so if you'd listen to the news media, you'd think we all hate one another right now. But as I told Phil, that's not the case. All the people that I know of love everybody. They don't have a problem with anybody. Now, that's not to say we don't have problems. One problem's too many. But my point is this, don't ingest that too much, or you're going to have a spirit of anger on you, and it's going to affect your life. Even if it's Christian news, some of the Christian, listen, I get Christian news, so don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Some of them blow it up a little bit more than it really is. All right, that didn't go over well, but it's still the truth. I get Christian news every day from the Christian perspective. I trust it for the most part more, but I don't fully put my trust in it either, because I know sometimes I've checked some of their stuff out and thought, yeah, that's a little overblown there. It's not quite that way. Amen. But you got to watch it, because that gets off on you, that spirit of anger. Amen. So what did he say? He said, be angry. Be angry. I mean, some things make you angry. But he said, sin not. In other words, don't yield to that. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger. In other words, listen. How many know prolonged anger opens the door to the devil? You know, the Bible even says about God in Psalm 30, it says that his wrath is but for a moment. It's but for a moment. I looked that up. I thought that would be interesting to find out what moment meant. You know, what does moment mean? Here's what moment meant. It said God's, this is Psalm 30, verse 5, God's anger endures but a moment. I thought, what does moment mean? I looked up moment. Moment means a wink of the eye. A very short space of time. So God doesn't stay angry very long. I'm thinking, if he gets angry like he loves, whoo, it's a good thing he doesn't stay angry long. I mean, I'll read. How many been reading through your Bible? Yes. Have you got to the book of Judges yet? I don't know, because I've been reading just straight through the Bible. I'm done, you know, I'm done with the New Testament. Now I'm completing the Old Testament. But I read through the book of, this isn't the first time, but you read through the book of Judges. I'm saying this isn't the first time I read through the Bible. I've been reading through the Bible, you know, since I've been born again. But you read through the book of Judges, and it talks about how, you know, the children of Israel turned from God. And he'd get angry. And then they'd cry out in their misery and he'd send a deliverer. And you think, okay, well, they learned their lesson. And then a few verses later, and they turned from the Lord and served Baal. And the anger of the Lord was aroused. And they went into captivity. Then he heard their misery and he sent and delivered them. And then you read a verse or so later. You know, just maybe a few verses later. And they turned from the Lord and served Baal. And they went into captivity. The Lord was angry. And then they cried out to him and he went and delivered them. I'm thinking, God, just step aside. Let me handle these people for a little bit. You won't have no problem with them. You know, like when the children of Israel, you know, Moses was up on the mountain and they made that golden calf and said, these be thy gods that brought thee out of Egypt. Boy, I'd have been done with them right then. I'd been it. How many feel that way? Aren't you glad you're not God? You know why? Because you'd be gone too. Amen? But God told Moses, he said, get out of my face. That's a loose translation, but he said, the King James says, he said, let me alone. Leave me alone. He said, I'm going to destroy the whole bunch. I'm going to start over with you. And Moses stood in the gap for those people, and God repented and forgave them. I'm telling you, when the Bible says his mercy endureth forever, his mercy endureth forever. Because literally, I wasn't living. I'm just reading it, and I'm mad at him. I'm just reading it. I'm thinking, I'd squash you like a bug. I mean, the thing that really ticked me off was when they made that golden calf. I mean, they just saw all the miracles that God did, brought them across the Red Sea on dry land, and then go make a calf and say, this brought us out. And then Aaron's stupid explanation. I threw gold in the fire and this came out. I'd have slapped him around for that. How dumb you think I am. Isn't it good God's merciful? Did you know those people out there that are doing the things they're doing that we hate? God has mercy for them too. Little less amen on that. But did you know one day you were doing things he hated? You know, I've told you my story, but I wouldn't say it. I hadn't been saved very long. So I can kind of use a little bit of an excuse of still being a babe in Christ. I was, he was 84, so I was born again in 81. And I saw these guys standing around on the street corner. And they might have been smoking a joint. I don't know. But they were out in public right on downtown Fort Worth, Texas. And I saw them standing out there, and they were passing around a bottle, and they were passing around a joint, I think, maybe. And I saw them, and I was getting ready to go to church. I mean, I got my righteousness on. Hallelujah. That was the problem. I had mine on. And when I went by them, I looked at them, and this is what I don't know if I can't remember if I said it out of my mouth. I may have. Look at those idiots. And I tell you, just honestly, just as soon as I said that, the Lord said, let's go back a few years. I thought, wait a minute, that's me standing on that street corner. Probably doing worse things than that. Boy, that jerked me straight. Are you with me now? And one of those guys, actually, I invited him to come to the meeting that night. It was a large meeting. It was one of Brother Copeland's meetings. I asked him, I said, come to the meeting tonight. We're having a meeting down here, you know. And he had on a bright red Miller High Life shirt, you know. And so he came to church in that shirt. And, you know, I mean, when we got in the Coliseum, I don't know. There was up to maybe 10,000 people there. But did you know when and I'm sitting on this side over in the pastor's section. I was associate pastor at the time. But he was way on the other side. But did you know when somebody's wearing a bright Miller High Life shirt in church, you can see it a long ways off. I saw that guy. I looked over and I saw that shirt. I thought, well, that man has come. He's come. Well, this was like, in those days, they did satellite TV. This was live satellite TV. Brother Copeland's up there preaching. I see this guy. I'm watching him, you know. I got my eye on him, you know. I see him get out of his seat. He walks down there, and he's going to walk up front where Brother Copeland's preaching and have him pray for him during this live TV. Well, you know, I mean, you have to have security in places like that. There's crazy people. So there's security there, and I mean, you know, they're not going to let him get up there by Brother Copeland. You know, they're going to stop him, which is right. I said, it's right. You don't know who's coming up there. So they stopped him, but they took him back and prayed with him. And after the service over, I found him outside, and he looked dazed. I'm telling you, he looked like he didn't know where his left hand from his right hand. And so I said, listen, let's go. You want to go get a burger? He said, no. He said, this group called Maranatha got a hold of me. Well, some of you don't remember Maranatha, but they were college campus kids for Christ. And he said, they got a hold of me and said, they cast the devil out of me. He said, I think I'm just going to the park to read my Bible. How many know God loves people just like that? Come on. Some of those people you may get so angry at, they may be the next Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. What's our job? Our job's to be reconcilers, not to be haters. Don't let that spirit of anger get on you. Come on, are you with me now? Don't let that get on you. That's going on in the world now. Don't let that get on. Don't let that spirit of anger get. Walk in love. Let's go to Romans 5. Let's close. You get something today? Don't let that get off on you, because it's so easy to get off on you, and you got to watch it. Once that happens, once that gets on you, I believe it stops God's power from working the way God wants to work. I believe that's what Paul meant when he said, I can't give you spiritual things. Well, he had them, but they couldn't receive them, right? So why was it? Well, they were in a place where they had opened the door to the devil. They'd given place, and the devil had taken advantage of. See, where it says give no place to the devil, that there in Ephesians we just read, that word place means ground. Don't give him any ground. Don't give him, it means occupancy. Or opportunity or license. Don't give him any of that. Now, verse 5, Romans 5. Got it? It says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So you and I, when we got born again, we got the love of God put in our hearts. It's just a matter of letting it dominate. It's a matter of yielding to it. Amen? See, you know, how do you... Have you ever read in Galatians, I'm sure you have, about the fruit of the Spirit? You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you know. How do you walk in that? Well, listen, here's what you need to know. See, sometimes I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, I'm praying for this. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you've been born again, you already have it. You know, I'm just praying for love. You don't need to pray for love. The Bible says it's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. What you got to do is yield to it. In other words, in life, you're going to have an opportunity to yield to the flesh or yield to the Spirit. See, we have an opportunity to yield to love or yield to the strife, the hate, and all this that's going on in our country. What does God want from us? Well, listen to this. Micah 6:8. What does the Lord thy God require you? Do justly. Do justly. Love mercy and walk humbly. That's not hard. Do what's right. Amen. Love mercy. In other words, be a person of, you know, mercy. How many know? What's the difference between grace and mercy? Well, this may be a simplistic view, but I believe it's a right view. It's not the only thing. What's the difference between grace and mercy? You know, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. That's mercy. You deserve something much worse than you got, but God gave you mercy. Amen. So we're to be people of mercy. What's that mean? We don't give people what they deserve. You with me now? See, some people and some of the things they're doing today, you know what they deserve? They deserve kicked around. They deserve slapped around. They deserve Pastor Jerry and I to go down there and punch him out. But we're going to have mercy, aren't we, Pastor? Well, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? He said, love those that hate you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Pray. Amen. Do good. Love. Amen. Come on. What, to those that we like? No. To those that don't like you. Some way or another, the church has lost that. We got to get back to that. Amen. So what are we saying today? Well, here's what we're saying. We're saying God has given us, as the church, the ministry of reconciliation. Let's don't fall into this same trap that the world's fallen into, and unfortunately some church people are falling in. To them, it's more important to have their way or their political view than it is to walk in the love of God. And let me just close by saying this. You don't have to go around and listen. I don't know if I should say this. Well, I guess it will. The Bible says it, so that's all right, right? Paul said, avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid them. That's what Paul said. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. There's a lot of foolishness out there that people are arguing about. We need to just avoid it. Just stay out of the fray. Just don't go there. Amen? Just don't go there. Why? It's not that important. It's better for them to hear the gospel and the word of God than hear your point of view. Amen. You preach the word, I guarantee you. Amen. They'll learn everything they need to know by the word of God. Something about people. See, we need to understand, before we fix people, we first got to get them to Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we want to fix all of our relatives' political views and we haven't got them to Jesus Christ yet. You know, our people that we know, we want to fix all their political views and get in arguments over that and fight over this and fight over that, and we haven't even got them to Jesus yet. You really can't fix them until you get them to Jesus. You can't clean the fish till you catch it. Best thing to do is just catch it, man. And then, you know, when you know what sanctifies people is the Word of God. I said the Word of God. I got news for you. I got cleaned up by the Word. I didn't get cleaned up, you know, because I knew, you know, all the right political stances and all that. I got cleaned up by the Word of God. As I read the Word of God, I thought, well, that isn't right, and that isn't right, and that isn't right. You know why I know abortion's wrong? Because the Bible teaches it is. Not because some Christian stuck their bony finger in my face and yelled at me. Because I got a hold of God's Word and found out he knew who Jeremiah was in the womb. Found out that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. Amen. Found out those scriptures. Amen. And those enlightened me, not some Christian sticking their finger in my nose and telling me how awful and bad I was and how evil, what a sinner I was, and I was going to hell. No, I'd have just probably punched you. But this right here, it changed me. Hallelujah. I got a hold of this. Amen. You know why I quit cussing? Because your wife made you? No. I quit cussing long before I met her. Come on. You know why I quit cussing? Because I read in Ephesians, it said, no corrupt communication shall proceed out of your own mouth. And I thought, well, calling somebody a blankety blank blank, I think that's not edifying. It's a, let it minister grace. So I learned that, you know, the Lord even told me, he said, because I had toned that down, but I was still calling them other names, bucket heads and stuff like that. You buckethead. And the Lord said, don't call people bucketheads. Oh, well, okay. I guess buckethead's not a Bible term. It's all right here in Ephesians. It tells us to stop lying, right? Amen. See, if every politician got a hold of the Bible, see, don't, and read this, and did it, we'd have a really good country. All the lies would stop. Amen. I'm just of the nature that I just believe this right here will change you faster than this right here. Get a hold of that. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.